Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Aaron Rodgers on November 11th, 2020.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hack has been a really important part of our culture. Hope he doesn't go anywhere. Unless I do.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Oscar-nominated actor Stanley Tucci, plus championship Sunday preview and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Terry Bradshaw on hour number one. That was a great chat with Terry. The great actor, four-time Emmy Award winner, Oscar nominee, Stanley Tucci in hour number three. That's going to be a lot of fun. What's more likely this hour? Chris Brockman with the championship weekend version of What's More Likely.
Yeah, buddy.
Our poll question is, which Super Bowl matchup are you looking most forward to see happen based on the championship Sunday activity at Rich Eisen Show to vote on all of that? Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But I couldn't be, I love talking to this guy when he comes on the show. I love listening to him. He is just a terrific football mind and a terrific broadcaster, part of the Monday Night Football crew on ESPN. He will be calling the Pro Bowl, and he's part of ESPN Super Bowl coverage from, wait for it, Disneyland. So I guess they're going to rename Mr. Riddick's Wild Ride. Can't wait for that. Louis Riddick back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Louis?
I'm doing good, my man. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you're going to ride that monorail with who? Who's on the monorail? Who's getting that passport to fun with you for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When it comes to rides, when it comes to Disneyland, I don't know who's going to be on them, but
yep.
I'm not going to be on anything that goes any faster than a monorail. I can tell you that.
Louis, my speed is...
I have tired my days of that.
My speed is, it's a small world after all. That is my speed. Fact.
You and me both, man. You and me both.
Fact. And I am not even driven crazy by the fifth different version of the song by room number five as you travel throughout the world. I love it. I love it.
I hear you. So it's my wife's favorite ride, too. It's her favorite one.
That'll be great. Let's talk about here's the transition. Wait for it. Here, let's talk about the wild ride that is going to be Super Bowl matchups being made from Championship Sunday. Here we go. What do you make of the AFC Championship game and how that's going to play out, best you can tell, Louis?
Yeah, look, I think for everyone, and it's just about everyone, who loves offensive fireworks and star power, I mean, this is the game for you, clearly, because it seems like people are more inclined to lean towards defense being optional. And I'm not saying that these teams won't play good defense, because they will. And they have some good defensive coaches on both of these teams, but I think points will be plentiful. I think, obviously, Kansas City will move the football. They move the football against everyone. They have multiple different ways of moving the football, and I think they will be successful in doing that in this game. Same goes for Cincinnati, especially considering how I think Kansas City's back end, you know, the third level of their defensive secondary, has really been inconsistent and has struggled some. And we just, if Tyrann Mathieu at any point in time is not able to, you know, finish this football game for whatever reason, it really seems as though they melt down in the back end. So I think points are going to be at a premium. I think the team that tackles the best in this game is really going to be the one that winds up getting out of this football game. Because in that first game, Ja'Marr Chase has 266 yards receiving the first time these teams played. 155 plus or 153 yards of it came after the catch.
Yeah.
Man, it's just ridiculous. And you know Tyreek can do the same thing on the flip side. You know Travis Kelce can do the same thing. Mecole Hardman is just a step slower than Tyreek Hill. So whoever can tackle and get these guys on the ground will have the best chance to win. But this may come down to a last possession ball game too, which brings into it a whole other discussion about overtime. And I saw your thoughts about it, and I think mine have gained a lot of traction this week, too, okay. about how we think overtime should be handled. But I think this game could come down to the same type of situation that came down in the divisional round between KC and Buffalo.
Well, I'd like to put a pin in that overtime talk for just a moment. I will remove it later on after we get through these games. I was just looking here while you were talking at the Monday Night Football schedule. You did not have the Bengals. That will obviously change for future years. What makes Joe Burrow so good? What makes him so damn good?
It's poise, confidence, not being someone who gets rattled despite being so young, simply because he's just wired that way. That's in his DNA. He's always been a guy who has looked at challenges as just being temporary roadblocks and not something that can slow him down, whether it be, you know, how he handled his college career, you know, being a transfer from Ohio State and going down to LSU and then winning the national championship to his rookie year, having his knee blown up and then coming back faster than anybody thought he would, never blinking behind an offensive line that can be like Swiss cheese in front of him. He never throws anybody under the bus. He never seems to complain. His facial expression never changes. His body language never changes. And everybody else sees that, Rich, and they go, well, damn, if he's not complaining, and he's getting the tar beat out of him back here, and he's still throwing darts and throwing lasers out here, well, then we need to step it up and find a way to come through. And that's not just on offense, but that's on defense and special teams, too. And that's what makes, like, you know, you talk to enough great athletes, high-performance players. That's what makes those guys great, is that other people feel like they need to raise their level to match theirs and not let them down. And at a young age, that's what he's become for that football team. And, look, his play on the field, as far as his movement in the pocket, decision-making, fluidity with which he delivers the football, accuracy, you know, great situational awareness. He has all that stuff, but it's the intangible stuff, man, that is just transferring and coming along with him at every single step that makes you go, that's what a number one overall pick at quarterback is supposed to look like.
Well, he wasn't,
and
yeah.
He's killing it.
And he wasn't on his butt, though, as much in, you know, week 17 as he was last week. And I'm wondering if you think that adjustment that the Bengals might attempt to make, having seen what the Titans did with their line, and what the Chiefs think they might be able to make some hay with Jones and Clark, et cetera, and how you think is that the key to this game as well, or it's just going to be a different set of circumstances, different teams, rematch just a few weeks later, so on and so forth. What do you think?
Well, I think it's part of it. I think if you just looked at the number of times he was hit and sacked in the Tennessee game, you would assume, if you hadn't watched the game, well, there's no way. There's no way Cincinnati wins that game then. So even if Kansas City's able to get the same kind of pressure, look, they had four sacks in their first game against Cincinnati. What, the Titans had nine?
Yes.
So even if you put him down that number of times, it still doesn't guarantee that you're going to win the game. But I will say that I think, look, they'll try to protect him better. I think that Kansas City will exert maximum, you know, commit as many guys as they possibly can without exposing their secondary to that wide receiver core as they can to try and rattle Joe. And I think they have a good chance of being even more successful at it because you're playing at home. The crowd noise is going to help you, just like the crowd noise helped Tennessee in Tennessee. And you know Arrowhead's the loudest place in the NFL. And these guys will be juiced up even more. And they also know that, look, they got to make up for some deficiencies on the back end that are just, they're just glaring. They just are what they are. So, look, Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram, those guys, they have to be on it, man. And I think there's just really not a whole lot Cincinnati can do about it right now. There's no scheme that you can really draw up now that's just going to magically cure their issues. That's a personnel issue. It's not a scheme issue.
Louis Riddick here on the Rich Eisen Show, Monday Night Football, ESPN's family of football programs, and he will be calling the Pro Bowl coming up in Las Vegas, Nevada, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What about the NFC Championship game? You know, six straight in a row, Shanahan has beaten the McVay Rams. Now here comes the one with the most stakes on it. What do you think will be the best chance to make sure the Rams break this losing streak, Lewis?
Wow, man. You know, this one really just comes down to a mentality, really. I mean, look, there's a lot of things that are always going to they're always going to play a factor, as you know, turnover differential, situational football, blah, blah, blah. Get off the field on third down, run the football, blah, blah, blah. Right. We know all those things that lead to winning in the NFL. But this is really about a mentality. And I remember when we did the first game of theirs this year, the first matchup that they had in Santa Clara, and sitting in the production meetings and talking to Kyle Shanahan, and the first question I asked him was, I said, look, last year, meaning in 2020, when you guys played them in Santa Clara, I said, the first thing that jumped off the screen to me from just, you know, I always start with the TV copy and then move to the all 22 tape copy when I'm watching these games.
Yeah.
I said, was the sound of the hitting in that game, because there's no fans in the stands and the mics are picking up everything. And I said, it physically sounded like you guys were delivering them a rear end kicking that was epic. And he goes, that's how we want to play them. That's how we feel like we can beat them. Because we feel as though, he said, quote, I told Deebo Samuel, this needs to be a Deebo type of game. You need to be snatching chains, stealing bicycles, just like the character in the movie. And that's how we're gonna play them. Because they don't want to play that way. And
Deebo,
you know what? They play them that way every time, man. It goes up another level. Look, they play everybody that way, but it goes up another level when they play the Rams. And that's going to be the deciding factor in this game. How is Aaron Donald? How is Jalen Ramsey? How is Von Miller? How are the, you know, Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham, how are they going to respond? Are they going to match them blow for blow? Or at some point in time in three and a half hours, are they going to make a mistake or wilt or not be able to withstand that kind of intensity? Because that's what San Francisco counts on. They count on being tougher than you and being, you know, good at what they do. But they count on being tougher than you, and I love that about them. I'm not the get-off-the-lawn, old crotchety guy, but I am a guy who likes that kind of football because that's the era that I played in and the era that I love. And that's how those dudes play, man. And that's why I love that matchup. And I'm just wondering, like, they say, you know, people always say, no, they're not in my head. They're not in my head. We had our chances. I'm not in my head. I don't have any lack of confidence. BS. When a team beats you that many times and they beat you a certain way and you know what the reason is, that starts to play on your psyche, and you start questioning yourself, especially at those crunch times in the game where it comes down to, I know what they're going to run. I know they're going to put 19 in the backfield and they're just going to let him run. Can I get him down, though? When he sits and he dips his shoulder on me, is he going to run my rear end over? Am I going to miss this tackle? You know, is George Kittle going to put me on my back? Those are the questions they have to answer, and that's why – that game gives me goosebumps because that's really what this game is all about, man.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
You got my juices flowing just hearing every last word you just said. I mean, that Monday night game you're referring to, it was really the first time all year the Niners looked like the Niners of 2019. And that was the night where Odell made his debut. Robert Woods had just blown his knee out. Stafford forced that ball to start the game down the field. They were not on the same page, clearly, Odell and him.
Yep.
But now they do appear to be that way. And Stafford made the plays. I mean, if I had told you that the Rams would make four huge mistakes, turnovers, and blowing a huge lead against the Rams, you know, your thought would be Stafford would have to make one of them. He made none of them. And as a matter of fact, he made the throws to Kupp to kind of save the day. So what about this team now, even though they did not respond to that sort of Niners mentality in the third quarter of that Week 18 game where they may have had the best chance to eliminate the Niners of anybody else in this postseason?
Yeah, you know, I do think they are different. I do think that this football team has found its groove, its rhythm, its formula for winning. I think they know, starting with that game, that Monday night game that we did, that they can't just be a get in the shotgun and throw it 45, 50 times and let Matthew Stafford just dazzle us with his arm. They know that this has to be more like 2017, 2018 Rams, where it's Sony Michel, Cam Akers, lots of inside-outside zone, running the football and then play-action pass, getting the gun sporadically, let Matthew dazzle you a little bit. But they know that they have to play the tough guy game too because it helps their offensive line. It helps the whole mentality of their football team. And I do think they know that that's what it's going to take against this team. I think defensively, look, Aaron Donald knows that he has to be three-time MVP, defensive MVP Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Vaughn knows that this is why I was brought here. Jalen Ramsey knows I need to play in the slot against Debo. I need to be as close to the action as possible. Don't park me out here on the corner covering someone, you know, look, as good as Brandon Ayuk is, don't park me out here where they can just formation me out of the game. Leave me in the mix. Leave me in the action here. I think these guys know that that's what it's going to take, and they have some damn good players in order to get the job done. So I don't think they lack confidence. I'm just saying, Rich, that whereas they know what the formula is and what it's going to take, the question is, when it comes down to it, when it's fourth quarter and you're tired, and all of a sudden 19 starts lining up in the backfield even more, and it's third and six, and you're going, you know what, most teams throw it here, but Kyle's going, it's third and seven, I'm going to run it, and I'm going to dare you to stop it, and I'm going to put big Trent Williams in motion, and I'm going to have him just blow up your defensive end like he did to Rashawn Gary.
I saw
what
that.
Are you going to do about it? That's what I'm waiting to see how the Rams respond to that.
Lewis. So Lewis is picking the 49ers.
I don't know. So I guess, no. Well, I mean, so based on your analysis, would it be safe to say Chiefs and Niners, Super Bowl 56? Or what? What do you think from you?
Yeah, that's what I'm picking, even though, I'm never going to bet against Patrick and the DNA of that team in Kansas City, although you just love everything since he's doing, and Joe Burrow's a stud, and Ja'Marr Chase is ridiculous. And when it comes to the NFC, though, look, I can't say this enough. I love everything that is Aaron Donald. Everything. Where he grew up, school he went to naturally,
yes.
What he has made himself into, three-time defense. I mean, it's sickening how much respect I have for that young man. Jalen Ramsey is an absolute warrior. Got to talk to him just a couple weeks. I mean, these guys, and Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, I mean, I love these dudes. It's hard for me to pick this game. It really is. But I just believe when I sat and talked to Kyle, and we were in there in those meetings, and he looked and he said, I'm glad you brought that game up from 2020. He goes, and I'm going to tell you what I told our team this week. I told Debo, this needs to be a Debo type of game. That stuck with me all year long. And they came out and they play that way, man. And I'm drawn to that. Not to say that the Rams can't play that way.
Right.
I'm drawn to that physicality aspect of the game that has been legislated largely out of the game. They find a way to do it within the rules, and it's beautiful. And so I'm always going to bet on that.
Before I let you go, I know we've talked for a while here, but I told you, Lewis Riddick, I love talking to you. So I'll unpin it now. Your overtime thoughts. You said you think there needs to be a change to the overtime rules?
No, you know what? No, I don't. But the only thing I think, okay, when I've heard this whole discussion, I was one of those people who believed this. Look, we have become conditioned to believe that the only good football there is left in the world is football that is 55-54, 38-35, 45-41, defense, I mean offense, up and down the field, bombs away, blah, blah. I don't believe that. See, we make football, we say football is the greatest team sport in the world until all of a sudden, it actually looks like that, and we aren't getting the scoring. Then we go, this stinks. We need more scoring. We need more scoring. I don't like the argument of, well, it's not fair that Josh Allen didn't get a chance. Well, yeah, actually, it is fair because those are the rules. They had 13 seconds to stop this offense with one of the best defenses in the NFL, and quite honestly, strategically, they blew it. They blew it. It's a three-phase game, man. Just like in Green Bay, Green Bay special teams against San Francisco in the divisional round blew it. They just flat out blew it. And you know what? That's what makes the game so beautiful. The only thing I would change as far as the sudden death nature of overtime is this. If you want to predetermine who's going to get the ball first so teams know what they're dealing with as it comes down the current time, fine.
Right.
But I like the sudden death nature of it because it puts all three phases on notice. If you're going to kick off, you better pin them deep. Defense, you better be ready to go and get off the field on third down because if they drive the ball down the field and score, it's over. It's over. So man up and get it done. I like that aspect of it. I like that pressurized aspect of it. I don't think that everything that is fair in the NFL always has to involve, well, let the quarterback have a chance to do it and dazzle us all. No, the hell with that. I don't like that. That's just me.
I'm with you. And not every overtime is going to have both defenses gassed or come in a game right. where both quarterbacks exactly. have played the position maybe at the highest level and the biggest stakes that That's we've right. seen. I mean, my God, right. Josh Allen is so the real thing. It's, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, and you know the Buffalo area from your playing days, too. That's what I said yep. to Bills Mafia. Right now it's dark, but there's a dawn. My God, is there a dawn and a no sun, question. And it's Josh Allen.
Oh my. No question.
Take care of yourself. I don't have any plans to be in Disneyland, but I do hope to run into you certainly Super Bowl week for sure.
Absolutely, Lewis. Absolutely. I hope so too, man. Thanks a lot for having
right,
me on.
Anytime. The great Lewis Riddick right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You should follow him on Twitter. A great follow on Twitter. And you should check him out. Always. Okay. I mean, Debo. That's it.
Tuck in your chain, like you said.
That's it. I want to just linger on that for a minute. We'll be back after the commercial break to take in a little bit what he said. More of your phone calls still to come in this hour. What's more likely for championship weekend? Chris Brockman gives me a couple of possibilities of what will happen this weekend. I choose what's more likely in TJ's top five involving championship weekend coming up. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit, just heard from a Los Angelino who's saying the Rams are getting disrespected. And he's an interesting point, saying that they're not a team that barely beat Ryan Tannehill, and they're not a team that limped off the field in Lambeau. And there were some limping off in the field in Lambeau field because those guys hit 19, the tar out of each other in the snow.
Yeah, big time.
0 degrees in snow, and not somebody that team that, you know, gave up the go-ahead score with 13 seconds to go. Crazy. They're the team that eliminated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and beat Tom Brady in the playoffs. How many times can a quarterback say, I've beaten Tom Brady in the playoffs? Well, Nick Foles can say it, and Eli can say it twice. Mark Sanchez can say it.
Sanchez.
You know what you're referring to? I know exactly what you're referring to. You know what you're referring to?
I do.
Tom Hammond, the great Tom Hammond broadcaster. He was the one on NBC with, I think, Theismann and Gibbs.
Wait, I want you to have my cheese fry.
You remember when NBC put Tom Hammond, Theismann, and Gibbs together in a playoff booth?
Yeah.
And Hammond kept calling him Sanchez.
Sanchez. Yeah.
Mark Sanchez.
Sanchez.
And all of us were sitting there at NFL Network saying, have we been mispronouncing his name at USC and on draft day and all this time?
The whole time.
As, by the way, the Jets were beating the Bengals on their own. Sean Green running the ball all over the Bengals that day.
S-H-O-N-N.
Oh, yes. But it was Sanchez. And I remember we're sitting there, and we have at NFL Network the ability to listen in to, what is it called, the back call? Is that what it is?
Oh no 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 no! You talk the dirty feet of the game.
The dirty feet of the game. Where this is something you need to know, broadcasters. All right.
Yes.
You're always live when you're in a booth.
Yes.
And you've got a headset on your head. You are literally always live. There's something called the dirty feed, where everybody hears during the commercial break, and it's your job to lower microphone for those guys.
Bird beater from the old satellite days, and I learned a lot of that during games.
When you say bird beater, what do you mean?
The bird being the satellite. Now, what you do is you build in. I used to protect you guys all the time on NFL Network
because
I knew we were going to multiple places. You close the mics, and then you can hear just in the truck. And that's the bird beater. And that is where a couple people get in trouble
in this business.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah, because that's going everywhere.
Well, we were hearing the conversation during the break. And at one point, we heard Theismann say, is it Sanchez or Sanchez? Which I think was Theismann's passive-aggressive way of saying Tom. Like
saying it wrong.
Because, you know, we've been calling him Sanchez all year. Sanchez. Dude, that's like a 17-year-old reference that you just busted out here.
Deep.
Hey, man. Sanchez.
Deep reference.
Sabotage the system. You say sabotage. I say sabotage. Look that one up for William Shatner. Yeah. Please listen to that on
Google. That's on YouTube. That's definitely there.
Oh, baby. Okay. Christopher, you ready?
Hey, Rich.
Championship Sunday edition. Of What's More Likely. Hit it, please. Hit it.
What?
What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher.
All right, first up, guys. Two of the biggest big play players in the National Football League are going to be on the field, not at the same time, Sunday in Arrowhead. Who's more likely to have a 50-yard-plus touchdown, Jamar Chase
or Tyreek
Hill?
Wow.
I think Jamar Chase had like six of these this year. And we all saw what Tyreek Hill did. Deuces at the end of the game.
I'm going to go Tyreek Hill. I'm going to say Tyreek Hill. And then, because this is the choice you've given me, I'm going to then, at the same time, say neither.
Oh.
And it's Kelsey who gets the 50. Kelsey.
Kelsey, your favorite for first touchdown if you're into that type of
thing. Oh, is that right?
Okay. I like it. Check your work.
I'm going to be right about Kelsey in one of these playoff games that I say something about him. Last year, one of my poker buddies, Doug Robinson, he still has not forgotten that I chose Kelsey as the MVP of last year's Super Bowl. Prior to, you know, during game day morning when we say, who's this year's MVP? And I chose Kelsey as the Super Bowl MVP. And I got so much crap from him for that sort of thing because Kelsey didn't have much of a game.
Right.
But it's also one of those things where the producers say, let's not double up the name. You know, one Mooch, I think, got Mahomes first. Like, thanks, Mooch.
It's like a draft.
I mean, Kurt got Brady first. And I'm like, so I can't do that? You let those guys choose first? At least I have shoulder on them on the promo picture.
Yeah.
All right. They had shoulder on me on that.
Shoulder.
Everybody's fighting for shoulders.
Shoulder.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
Lewis Riddick just told you it's basically going to be a shootout in Kansas City. It's basically going to be a shootout. Mm-hmm. Now these are the guys throwing Jamar Chase and Tyreek Hill the ball. Who's more likely for 350-plus yards and three touchdowns? And their team wins.
Mahomes,
so big day
Mahomes.
And wins. Burrow, Mahomes.
I'll take Mahomes on that. I'm taking the Chiefs to win the game.
You are.
I am.
Okay. Oh. Hoo-hoo.
I'm taking the Chiefs to win the game.
By a touchdown?
Stop with this business. Like you're asking everybody. Like, when Glazer left here, you asked him what he thought about that sort of thing.
You know, he's got inside. He's an insider.
I understand
that. I'm just wondering
that,
if he's been talking
about they're not here for your gambling. They're not here for your gambling.
Look, I'm looking for any edge I can get.
Go find J.B. Smoove and Halle Berry, if that's the thing that you want.
I knew he was talking about it.
What's more likely? TJ would probably, from those commercials, TJ would like to find Halle Berry or Trey Wingo. What's more likely? All right.
Cooper Manning.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to the other game. I looked this up, guys. These numbers are dead even. So what's more likely? More 49ers sacks on Matt Stafford.
Yes.
Or Stafford touchdown passes. Now, in the two games this year, it's four touchdowns for Stafford, and he's been sacked four times.
I'm going to go with Stafford touchdown passes. How about them apples? Because that means Kupp and Odell Beckham are involved, and I think they will be. And I like it. I'm going to go Stafford touchdown passes. Matthew Stafford, may I repeat? I've repeated this statistic. I've got another one for you.
So is that also an insight in your pick in this game?
Matthew Stafford is only the third quarterback in playoff history with over 300 passing yards, two passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown in a game, all right, in the playoffs. How about that? Brady and Rodgers are the other ones.
All right.
Onward.
All right.
What else you got?
Okay, last one on this game, and then we'll finish it up here. This year...
By the way, multiple games. How about that? Multiple games. Isn't that incredible? Go for it.
This year, Cooper Kupp's per-game yardage prop is 15-4. He has been killing it, obviously. I think he should be MVP. So what's more likely? Cooper Kupp over 100 receiving yards or Deebo Samuel over 100 total yards?
Oh, I'll take Deebo over 100 total yards. You know, let me just linger here for a moment. You heard it in Lewis Riddick's voice, and I called him this earlier this week. He is the best football player in football.
Oh, interesting.
Now, that's when you hear that, that's kind of like calling a boxer pound for pound great. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're like, what do you mean by pound for pound? Like, everybody else just weighs pounds, so everyone else has pounds upon pounds. Football player, I mean, he does everything, literally everything. Now, Odell does too. Odell could run it too, I bet. I know. He threw a pass in a playoff game, which is something Michael Irvin didn't even do in his career. You know, so, but he can't bring the wallop. Deebo hits you hard. He hits you like a linebacker, and he runs over you like a linebacker, and he's a wide receiver. Or is he a running back who plays wide receiver, or is he a wide receiver who plays running back? And he can throw it too, and he can line up everywhere, and he can line up anywhere, and he can also be on special teams. He literally does it all, and he's on the Niners. Aaron Donald is a guy who can do it all. Like, there's stars everywhere on the field, and you heard Lewis talk about it with a ton of man love. So I'm going to take Deebo here.
Okay.
He will definitely be utilized. For sure. And that Kupp is somebody you could kind of, I guess you could target on both of them, but Kupp's.
I'll just go Deebo over Kupp.
All right, last one, guys.
What's more likely, Bengals win in Kansas City or the 49ers win here in Los Angeles?
49ers win here in L.A. I mean, the 49ers just won here in L.A. week 18 to gain the playoffs, and they have not looked back.
8 points.
You know, the Bengals just beat Kansas City. They were home. You know, they were home. And, you know, the Chiefs are coming for Burrow, and McPherson can split the uprights all he wants, but the home team is not going to be held down like either the Bengals held down the Titans, or as the narrative's going, Tannehill held down the Titans. That ain't happening. So the field goals that you settle for in Tennessee will not allow you to survive a 9-sack game in Kansas City. How's that sound?
I like it.
Bengals fans won't, but that's just my analysis of it. And that's what's more likely, everybody. Hey, Irma. Hey, now.
Yeah,
what's
more likely? Hey, now. What's more likely?
Very good. Woo. All right. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Craig in New York, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Craig?
Hey, Rich, it's an honor.
Oh, thank you. What's going on?
I see you put out a call to hear from Bengals fans.
I did.
On how they feel.
Yes.
I think I have an interesting perspective.
Okay.
Being that I'm from upstate New York, lifelong fan, and have zero ties to Cincinnati. I would say, honestly, there aren't words, but if there were, it would be, it's worth it. So hang in there. You know, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
It's worth it, and the it being worth it is, you know, the Coslet era, and you know post Sam Weich era, all the way to the present day. That's the it that's worth it. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, I've been since 1988, I've been a diehard Bengals fan. Unreasonable diehard, like, to an unreasonable amount of passion. Like, I could elaborate on extremes, if you like, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. And even if this is it, right?
The only reason why this would be it, you know, and thanks for the call, brother. The only reason why this would be it, Craig, is because of something horrible that happens to Burrow. You know, that kid's not going anywhere. And all he did, all he did was come off the cart and look like this.
It's amazing.
Come on.
Yeah, usually the year after your knee injury, you kind of, it takes you a year to kind of get back into the swing of things, trust in your leg, trust in your body, what it can't do. You know, the back of your mind.
Yeah.
You're coming off that injury, but no. Not with this kid.
And Chase is the key too, man. You could have gotten a guy to help protect him, but Chase wouldn't be such a difference maker all over the lot. Oh, my word. I mean, it's right there for you Bengals fans and Joe Burrow, and congratulations. It's worth it. Damn straight it's worth it. You made it through. You know, now you got him. 844-204-RICH, number to dial more of your phone calls. TJ's Big Ass Grab Bag, a championship Sunday edition of that is coming up. The great actor Stanley Tucci, hour number three, will preview all the possible Super Bowl matchups. That's our poll question at Rich Eisen Show. Which one do you want to see the most? That's all coming up still on this Friday.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio, returning us. Just sitting here wondering what Bob Costas is thinking today. Yeah, we spoke to him Wednesday, and then he's just like, he wanted another bite at the overtime conversation apple. So you want me to text him?
Yeah. Shut up.
I love that drop. Just keep it simple, too. Just like, are you okay? Or, you know, or haven't heard from you. You're all right?
Okay.
All right. Meanwhile, Rich, the poll question, as you said, what will be the Super Bowl 56 matchup?
Oh.
Bengals, Niners, Bengals, Rams, Chiefs, Niners, Chiefs, Rams.
All right, we'll check on all that coming up here on the Rich Eisen Show. In advance of TJ Jefferson doing his big ass grab bag, I'll do this later on because I want you in a good mood. Jerry Jones being asked about Sean Payton and Mike McCarthy, and Mike McCarthy staying, and Dan Quinn's coming back, which is good news. That's good news.
Yeah. Well,
Dan
Quinn's coming back. Mood.
I don't know. But here's a championship Sunday advancer edition of TJ's Big Ass Grab Bag, TJ's Top 5. Hit it, Mike Del Tufo. Go for it. Hit it. You got it over there, TJ?
I am.
Okay, very
good. Didn't know we were going now, but hey, I stay ready, Rich, so I don't have to get ready.
We are going now. We are going right now. I'm sorry. Did I just audible?
Yeah, you audible.
Did I really? I thought we were planning on doing this right here.
Yeah,
we
were.
Okay.
Let's just do it.
Let's ready. Hey. Are you ready?
Guys, Omaha.
Stay ready, Rich.
Let's go.
You see these glasses on?
Are you ready, Mike?
DJ Mikey D.
I'm ready, baby. I hit it for you.
It's time for TJ's Big Ass Grab Bag. Take it over, TJ.
You know, right? My mom literally just texted me a second ago, Rich. She goes, did you do your thing now? I'm going to hit her up. Mom, it's right now. Now. Right. Like, here we go.
How about this? You hit your mom up, I'll hit up Bob Costas.
All right. By the way, that's a race to see who responds first.
Okay. All right, like we always do at this time, kaboom. Guess who stepped in the room? TJ here. Listen, Brockman, Del Tufo, Rich, we got the divisional championship weekend. We're all pretty excited, right? So I decided to take a look back, right, and see some of the best divisional championship games that I've ever, I'm sorry, conference championship game. No, this is... Yeah, conference championship games, I'm sorry, that I've ever seen. And, you know, I had to make a kind of a cutoff point, guys. So I went from 1990 on because I pretty much can remember pretty much everything from 90 on. So let's kick it off with number five as we dig into this big-ass grab bag. 1995 AFC championship game. Pittsburgh, Three River Stadium. I was living in Pittsburgh. I was living in an apartment on Mount Washington. We had a party this day, had about 50 people in the crib to watch this game. The Steelers were favorite. They were 11-5. Chiefs snuck into the playoffs at 9-7. Everyone thought the Steelers were going to run away with this game, but they didn't. It was a tight game.
The Colts.
And at the very end, Rich's boy Jim Harbaugh threw a Hail Mary pass that was dropped by Aaron Bailey in the end zone. But it was like he caught it, then he dropped it, then he caught it, and he dropped. There were bodies everywhere, and it was just panic and commotion. And Aaron Bailey dropped the ball, and the Steelers went on to go to Super Bowl 30.
Yeah, that was the captain comeback days of Jim Harbaugh, which is why he's in the Ring of Honor in the home of the Colts. Yeah.
And Jim Harbaugh, man, if people forget, I went back and watched some old film. Jim Harbaugh was pretty good at quarterback,
yes,
man.
He could play quarterback.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. If you didn't know, go to YouTube and check them out. All right, coming in at number four, we've got the 1990 NFC Championship game, which the Giants beat the Niners 15-13. Now, San Francisco was seeking to become the first team to win three straight Super Bowls, and it looked like they were about to do it, but then Roger Craig fumbled the ball with about 2.5 minutes left. Lawrence Taylor got the recovery, set up Matt Barr's fifth field goal, and
Marshall ended Joe Montana's
days
there.
Leonard Marshall KO'd Joe Montana with a hit in the fourth quarter, right? The left Joe Montana broke his hand, cracked his ribs, bruised the sternum,
bruised
his stomach. This game was in January 21st, 91. Montana didn't play again until 93. That's how bad this hit was. And Giants wouldn't stop the Niners from becoming the first team to three-peat when it looked like they probably were going to do it. All right, at number three, we've got the 1998 NFC Championship game, Falcons 30, Vikings 27. Now, Vikings were 15-1. Remember, they had this high-powered offense. Rookie Randy Moss, 17 touchdowns that year.
Cunningham, man.
Yeah, at the time, they set an NFL record with 556 points, if I'm not mistaken, during the season. But then Gary Anderson, who hadn't missed a field goal in two seasons, had a chance to put the Vikings up by 10 and essentially steal the game, missed the field goal. Falcons went on to win the game in overtime by a friend of the show, Morton Anderson, hitting a field goal. And kind of makes you wonder what would have happened. This Vikings team was so exciting.
Yeah. Billick was the OC. Was the OC. And
Cunningham and Carter and Moss and Robert Smith.
That's a great feature series on NFL Network, The Missing Rings, the 15-1 Vikings.
Yeah. That's funny you brought that up, Chris, because initially when I started to do this yesterday, I was trying to figure out who were the best five teams to never win the Super Bowl, but this just seemed like a better route. But, man, that Vikings team was something else. Yeah. John Randall on defense. I think they had the sixth-ranked defense in the NFL that season, too. So
Falcons
I think it would have been a better.
Falcons got curb stomped, too, the next game,
but the Falcons were 14-2 that season.
Sure. Dan Reeves, rest in peace.
They were great.
The Giants got them.
And so coming in at number two, we have the 2006 AFC Championship game, Colts 38, Pats 34, Marlon Jackson, Roman Free. As the call said, Brady and Manning looked like the two best young QBs in the league at that time, but Tom had three rings. Peyton had yet to get there, and it looked like Tom was going to play for his fourth.
Sure did.
Down 21-3, Colts staged an amazing comeback, and they outscored the Patriots 35-13, and they secured the Sheriff his first trip to the big game.
Richie Caldwell dropped a third down that I will never
forget. Yeah, he did. Yep. And that was it. You know, I think people were kind of rooting for Peyton, too, because I said, Tom had been the three.
Yeah, and it was over. It was over. I think I can't believe the Patriots are going back again. Because, again, the Patriots made the first Super Bowl we covered. The Patriots made the second Super Bowl we covered. The third Super Bowl was Steelers and the Seahawks. And then, here comes Tom again.
Remember that game? Dan Klecko caught a touchdown pass. He was a lineman, caught a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was a great game. And coming in at number one, to quote the great Pat Summerall, it's a deja vu all over again. San Francisco and Dallas. The established champion versus the young upstarts for the championship with a nod to the past and a look to the future. And it was the first of three times that the Niners and the Cowboys would play in the conference championships. But this one, I put at number one just because it was kind of like the usurping of the king, as they say in Game of Thrones, right? Cowboys kind of took that mantle, kind of took the crown from the Niners. And four takeaways for the Cowboys D. Aikman threw for 322 yards. Emmett ran for a buck 14. Cowboys went on the road. It was foggy. It was some great weather. It was a little bit rainy, but the Cowboys went out there and did their thing.
How about them Cowboys?
And it started the dynasty.
And it's my favorite time in football. I know we haven't won a lot since then, but I was alive for this. And it was a great time, and it was fun, man.
Sure.
So that's TJ's top five. And as always, looking forward to hearing what you guys think.
Again, since 1990, your favorite top five conference championship games.
Love it.
Wow. Yeah, I started going back too deep, Rich. I was thinking the 81 Chargers-Raiders game. That was a great one.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
Those were some great moments.
Yeah.
That Vikings team was good.
That Vikings team was so much fun.
They lost to the Giants where they didn't even score, like in 2000.
I just remember.
Chris Carter was amazing. That team was.
I think those Colts, were those the Colts that they couldn't stop the run at all? And then they dropped. I think it was that Colts team that couldn't stop the run. And they dropped who was that safety? The safety would just hit the hell out of everybody.
Oh, Bob
Wright.
Bob Sanders.
Bob
Sanders,
right. From Iowa.
Where he went?
They dropped him down. Yeah, I believe so. And they just dropped him down in the box and they stopped everybody and it stopped the bleeding. You know? That was it, man. Tony Dungy and the Colts win it against Lovie Smith and Rex. Sexy Rexy. I thought for sure
Devin Hester
that it was going to be Brady in that Super Bowl up 21-3. Right. I thought it was a wrap.
Yeah, wrap.
Yeah, because didn't Manning have I didn't check. I think he had two picks early.
That was Hester's first run. Boom. And the rain.
That was Super Bowl, yeah.
We're not talking Super Bowl.
I know I'm going to Super Bowl. That Bears team was, they thought they had it.
Yeah, Bob Sanders, man. He
did go to Iowa. You were right.
Well, I mean, Bob Sanders was, on. And I know this is kind of heresy to say, but he was on par with Paul Amalu for a hot minute.
Oof. But his injuries just kept hurting him.
He was much slighter.
He was 5'8", but he would tear you up.
Exactly. Yeah. And they dropped him down in the box, and it's just like, okay, that's one way to fix the run problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everyone was saying. There's no way you could win a Super Bowl when you can't stop the run, and then they did.
Yeah, Peyton Manning had a pick six that made it 21-3.
I thought that was it. And I'm like, again, I cannot believe it.
And I'll be honest with you, I could have very easily put that at number one, but
I know.
I'm going to stay true to the game.
Cowboys, I got it.
It's got to be a Dallas.
I'm going to stay true to the game.
I got it. And then those Brady Manning, and for folks of a certain age that might be out there watching us, the Brady Manning years that's right there in the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
That we're all talking about, that the dawn of the Allen Mahomes years. That
kind of feels the same,
sort of
right?
thing, like where, yes.
Ben. Yeah. Ben right. against Brady.
Well, Ben against Brady wasn't like Manning against Brady.
No. Wasn't the same thing.
Ben in there is kind of like in the 80s when every year you had the Lakers and the Celtics winning every NBA
then
title.
The Pistons came in?
Well, even before the Pistons, the Sixers got in there a few times. So it went Celtics, Clippers, Celtics, Sixers, Lakers.
Sixers got in with the Lakers last night.
Yeah, we did. Oh. Tore them up.
Yeah, well, Bron didn't play. I mean, come on.
Well, hey, you play to win the game, right?
Play to win the game.
But yeah, the Joe Montana, that Leonard Marshall hit, put him out for a full season.
Yeah.
Like, sent him off to Kansas City.
He never played for the Niners.
No, that was it. He went to the Chiefs after that.
Boom.
So, hour number three coming up. More of your phone calls. The great actor Stanley Tucci, Chris Brockman, Sneaky Good Games, and so much more coming up.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.